Will you please rise and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? When Jesus and the disciples were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'"
They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?"
They told them what Jesus had said, and the people allowed them to take it.
Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had been cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were waving their palms and shouting,
"Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Hosanna indeed. I invite the children to go ahead to Sunday school and all of you to be seated. Sisters and brothers, on this glorious morning, I bid blessings and peace to you in the name of the Lord we follow. Blessings and peace to you on behalf of the Son of David, the Son of Mary, the Son of Man, and indeed the very Son of God. On this morning of waving palms and loud hosannas, on this day where people line the streets and fill the pews, I greet you in welcome. On this morning when old-timers and newcomers sing familiar songs set to majestic tunes, I greet you in peace. On this morning where promises are made, hearts extended, and covenants drawn anew, I greet you in love. And on this morning, where we gather in the transforming presence of the very one who rode into Jerusalem long ago, I greet you in grace. Welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge, no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey. This is a place of great life and great opportunity. You will find within your bulletin a purple sheet. I invite you to take it out right now and take a look at it. I ask you then not to leave it here at the church, but take it home with you, that you might remember the many opportunities coming up this week. I would invite anyone in this congregation who has an announcement to make to please come forward to that microphone now, that you might do so. As anyone comes forward, I have a couple of announcements of my own. First of all, thank you to Ann Hutchinson. These are indeed palm branches. If you read our call to worship this morning, you would have heard that the disciples and the others gathered leafy branches, just like these. There are other things you should know about this, though. These leafy palms are sustainable palms. They are grown in an ecologically friendly way. They are harvested by people and shipped to this country. All of those people earn a fair and living wage for their labor. So as you wave these and shout Hosanna this morning, know that you are contributing to the health of this earth and to the justice of all the people who call it home. Second, I would issue a special welcome to all of our visitors and guests here this morning. Every one of us started as a visitor or guest in this very room. And I would invite you to take one of the pew cards and fill it out and leave it in the offering plate that we might get to know you better. Kathy.
Hi, I'm Kathy Shane Leiden. I'm the music minister, as you most of you know, and I'm really excited to announce a really nice Music on Main concert that's today at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Our wonderful soloists, John Demler and Doug Schmaltzy and Nellie Rustic, are all going to be doing a program, and it's going to be so much fun. It is going to be the kind of program that you're like, yay, we are here. It's going to be almost springtime, and we're going to like let loose a little and have a little fun. So hopefully you're able to be here 4 o'clock today. Thank you.
On this day and in this place, if we are going to fully invite Christ into our hearts and into our lives, we first need to make some room. We need to clear out all of the things in our hearts and our lives that are not life-giving or full of love. We need to get rid of all of the guilt and despair that accompany us on life's journey. We need to clear out all those barriers to relationship between either us and God or us and one another, that there might be space for Christ to enter in. And so this morning, we will pray and we will confess, not under compulsion, but as a gift, a chance to be fully honest and to make room for the very love of Christ. Our prayer of confession is printed in your bulletin, and I would invite you to pray it out loud with me here and now. Let us pray. Ever constant love, mixing love and hope together, you pave the way to the kingdom, but we prefer to stub our toes on the potholed roads of temptation. You would touch the cup of grace to our parched lips, but we seem to hunger for the ashy taste of bitterness. You beg us to learn the songs of salvation, but we hum along with the chorus death plays in the background of our lives. Have mercy upon us, God of holiness, as you come to us.
Bring healing for our grossness. Peace for our troubled lives.
empty ourselves of everything which keeps us from following you, so we may receive these gifts and more from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And let us say together, Amen. Friends, on this day of grand processions, I have a truth for you that is more glorious. On this day of a great festival, I have a truth for you that is even more joyful. And so I ask you to rise to your feet as you are able, that I might share that truth with you. Please stand. Know this to the bottom of your heart. Through the limitless compassion of Christ, our sins are indeed forgiven. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are energized for God's work of justice and peace in the world. Let us now, with the joy of children, lift up our voices in thanksgiving, crying, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. As if this day couldn't get more joyful, as if this day couldn't get more grand, we have the privilege today of welcoming into this Christian family a whole bunch of new members, a great group of wonderful people. It is a serious act that we undertake only in the midst of the larger congregation. And so now I invite our senior deacon, Joanne Levitt, to come forward, our deacon, Carrie Quigley, to come down, and I would invite Mary Jane Dunlop, Jill Fleming, Jennifer Germain, Margaret Gubbins, Jeffrey Harris, Michael Rebick, Martha, and Chris Slocum to come on up here. Welcome. I hope they are smiling at you, and you hopefully are smiling back at them. Friends, this is one of the most joyous events in the life of any church. In our tradition of the United Church of Christ, we understand members joining the church as members owning a covenant, as making promises to you and you making promises to them, for them to bind themselves to us and in doing so to our loving God in heaven. This is a matter that we take seriously and is a matter where you are not spectators. You will need your bulletins. Please pick them up and open them to page 4. Let us all here in this room, here and now, remind us of why we gather as a church by reading our statement of purpose in unison. Our purpose as a church is to carry on the mission and ministry that God initiated in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, whom we recognize as the Christ. Our purpose is to represent Christ, God's saving and healing love, both locally and in the wider world.
Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ.
They have been led by the Spirit to affirm their baptism and to name their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of the Christian Church.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love God with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. God help us.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love our neighbors
as we love ourselves. God help us.
You are here joining. We rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and this place.
We give thanks for every community of faith which has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith.
And so those of you who are about to make promises to this church, I have some questions for you. Do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue in your pilgrimage of faith, to be Christ's disciple, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please answer, I promise, with the help of God. Do you promise to walk with us in faithfulness and in Christian love? Do you promise, so far as you are able, that you will live into the covenant of this church? Will you worship God with us? Will you seek to grow with us and offer your gifts for the benefit of this church and the larger church of which this is a part? If so, please answer, I promise, with the help of God. These people have made promises to you, and now it is your turn, members of this congregation, to make some promises back. Will you please rise to your feet that you may offer some promises of your own? Members of this congregation, will you welcome these new members with joy in the common life of this church? Will you promise your friendship and prayers? Will you minister to them and allow yourself to be ministered by them? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God.
We promise with the help of God.
Will you share with them the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ? Will you grow with them together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God.
We promise with the help of God.
Within the United Church of Christ, there are many sacraments and rites that are asked upon the minister to perform. This is not one of them. The act of joining a church can only be made between faithful people who are seeking to join and the faithful people of the church who embrace them in promise. And so as we read our church covenant together, that is the action by which these people officially become your brothers and sisters. And so as you read this covenant, read it seriously, for it is serious work. But read it joyfully, and read it hopefully. Let us now enter into covenant with one another. As we strive to fulfill our purpose,
we covenant to worship together on a regular basis, to strive to grow spiritually, to
open ourselves to follow God's leading in our lives, both individually and as a community of faith, to give support to and receive support from
one another through life's trials and transitions,
to support and participate in the wider Christian community,
and to support the institution of this church
with our time,
resources, and skills. On behalf of this church family, we welcome you. We look forward to our journey of faith together. We give thanks for the chance to learn with you and to grow with you, to deepen our faith, to broaden our minds, and open our hearts. May God bless and enrich our time together.
The congregation may be seated as Carrie and I officially welcome them on your behalf.
this morning we come to celebrate how great a gift peace is. A gift that could not be confined to Jerusalem, no matter how holy that city is. A gift that is meant to be shared throughout the ages. And so this morning I invite you to rise to your feet and not confine the peace to the people merely around you, but to walk around this room offering peace in the form of a greeting, a handshake, and on this day, even a holy hug. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another. When you have experienced just how big and amazing peace is, I invite you to find your way back to your pew.
Our reading takes place 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. Those in power were looking for a way to find Jesus and to kill him by stealth. And as Jesus withdrew to a small town outside of Jerusalem, hear now the story picked up by Mark's gospel in the 14th chapter. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, whenever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests and in order to betray Jesus to them.
Will you pray with me? Lord of all there is and all there might yet be, send your spirit down here to wrap around our hearts and oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might open gently and easily to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Living in Boston, working in Wellesley, and worshiping at a church whose front door was smack dab upon the finish line. This was always a fascinating and energizing time of year, the time of year where the sun is finally warm enough that you believe spring is coming, where people are out on the streets pounding the pavement mile after mile. For it is around this time that the marathon always comes to Boston. It is an amazing time that revels the entire city. There is the spectacle of thousands of runners. The joy of having people from literally across the globe. The blue and gold, the colors of the marathon, hang everywhere upon the streets. There are roads lined with cheering well-wishers. There are runners who defy biology and physics to run the race that is set before them. And there at the finish line, there is confetti that rains down as far as you can see. It is a spectacular day. And then living in Boston and working in Wellesley and worshiping at that church at the finish line, there is always the day after. Empty stands now line the street. Hard, cold metal in place of warm, cheering flesh. Those small, little paper water cups that help keep the runners running are now smashed down into the pavement. That confetti that seemed to linger in the air forever, floating on the currents, is now smudged with the oil and dirt of daily life. The people are gone. And the feeling changes dramatically. And no matter how long you stand there at the finish line, lingering in the moment and the memory, everything else has already moved on. When Jesus had retired out of Jerusalem to Bethany for the night, to the home of Simon the leper, to a modicum of comfort and honest hospitality, Jerusalem, too, had already moved on. The palm branches that waved in the air and sustained Jesus on his procession into town were now smashed down into the streets. The hosannas that had floated through the air were now smudged in the oil and dirt of daily life. This is the passage in Mark, here at the home of Simon, where we go from the absolute joy of Palm Sunday to realize and face what awaits Jesus during the week that is to follow. Here, amidst that alabaster jar and that precious nard, it is almost like trying to linger in the moment and energy of Palm Sunday, only to find that everything has already moved on. It is this passage in Mark's gospel that marks the finish line of Palm Sunday. We cannot linger amidst the joy of waving branches any more than Jesus could simply stay there in that house of comfort and hospitality until all had moved on. Here, as we encounter this unnamed woman and her truly extravagant gift, we move forward together right into Holy Week. The one Mark detailed was the single most important week in all of human history. And it does remain the single most important week for us people of faith in any year. We are moving into undoubtedly what is a holy week. Our call upon our hearts this week is to seek out holiness, and rest assured the signs of the holy will abound. The cock is going to crow, not to signal the start of a new day, but to announce a spiral of deepening darkness. That darkness is going to cover the whole planet at noon. Temple shrouds are going to tear in two. Centurions are going to have divine revelations. Stones, they are going to roll back. Angels will be waiting. And through it all, life will win. God will win. And the faithful will be astounded and speechless at miracle upon miracle. This, my friends, is indeed a holy week. And this passage and act of anointing kicks it all off. Oil and nard running down the head of Jesus. This is a proclamation that even goes beyond the waving of those palms of just who Jesus is. He is the anointed one, the descendant of David, the Holy One. But as holy as this week is, and as important as it is to keep our eye on holiness, this week is also a profoundly human week. And it is every bit as important for us to keep our eyes on that humanity too. In this week, the most human of things are fully going to be on display as well. There will be food shared and memories created around a table in an upper room. There will be tears shed in grief and agony in a garden. There will be prayers for deliverance. There will be betrayal by people who love you, denial by those who claim the fiercest loyalty. There will be thoroughly imperfect human justice. There will be inhuman torture and death. There will be mourning, grief, hiding, and dismay. And there will also be honor, compassion, care, and honesty. In this week to come, there will be astonishment, and there will be second chances. And that most human of weeks kicks off right here in this reading with that alabaster jar and that precious nard. If you spend time looking at our biblical texts, an amazing thing for me is that both those who are with Jesus and those who most fiercely oppose him spend this entire week focused on his holiness, his messianic lineage and title, his inspired teachings, and what it all means in the holy spectrum of things. And yet, in the middle of it all, and at the very foundation of our most orthodox theology, is that Jesus is also fully human. He is flesh and blood. He may no longer be that baby in a cradle, but he is still fully vulnerable, totally breakable, completely fragile. And he is laden with all things human. He is fully human, we claim. And so here on the day after, when these leafy branches get smashed down into the pavement, when all the crowds start going back about their business and all the hosannas of this morning are smudged in the oil and dirt of daily life, Jesus may be in the home of Simon, and he may be surrounded by disciples, but at this moment, I believe Jesus is also thoroughly alone. He is carrying with him all the burden of what is yet to come in this most holy of weeks. Mark writes, this burden is so heavy that later in this very chapter, Jesus will say he is deeply grieved. He even says he is grieved to the point of death. Jesus knows that he faces pain and torture, humiliation and isolation. He carries a burden so tough that in the midst of that garden coming up this week, he prays to God in the midst of complete aloneness. He says, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but rather what you want. It is a deeply holy and thoroughly human prayer. This time in the house of Simon the leper, while on the surface, Jesus appears calm and restful and peaceful. The fully human Jesus would not have been able to stop thinking about what was coming, what had already been set in motion by the waving of these very palms. And what happens in that house? It is the stuff of holy humanness. This woman, this unnamed woman, she fully meets Jesus' humanity. Her gift to him, that gift of nard that was worth an entire year's worth of wages, that was valuable, but not nearly as valuable as the gift she offered in recognizing his humanity. Of all the people who are going to surround Jesus in this week, those arguing for and those arguing against him, this woman, I think, best and most beautifully meets Jesus in his full humanity. This symbolic act of anointing is, as Mark records, an action reserved for the holy, the priests and the kings chosen by God. But it is also an action offered to the human. This anointing is the action offered to all humans because it is offered at a moment that none of us can avoid. This is also the anointing of the dead. This anointing is the very thing that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome will leave in the early morning hours to do for Jesus 1 week from today. This woman offers an extravagant gift. She helps Jesus, I believe, to get past the burdens of what is coming so he can live through the human moments of this week in dignity and meaning. As horrible as what was about to happen to him, this gift allowed him to prepare to face them. As fully human, anticipation and fear would have been running in his mind. You and I know how that is, right? Those moments where the fear of what is coming take over us, and it can freeze us, it can immobilize us. How such fear of what is coming can help keep us from the grace that is offered every time our heart beats. What Jesus faced is a very human reality. And so this unnamed woman, she meets that human reality with the gift of honesty. Not because she can fix it, but merely to sit with him. She confronts the fear with the grace of a ritual. Not to ignore that fear, but to help Jesus move through it. She repels the loneliness with a touch of her fingers and the presence of her heart, not banishing the fear, but lessening its grip. All of those things beautifully human. I hope you haven't forgotten that just a few moments ago, as we entered into covenant with these beautiful people, we made a promise to one another, to be this woman offering the nard in the alabaster jar, to give support to and to receive support from one another through all of life's trials and transitions. We promise to help one another, not to fix each other's problems, to ignore them, or to banish them to privacy, but rather to be with each other in the midst of all of our problems, to move through them together, and to ease the grip of isolation and loneliness. Today we covenant our full humanness and become part of a holy family. Friends, this is a holy week that we face, and it is a human one too. And so as we enter this week, let us look at Jesus not just as the Messiah, not just as the divine, or even the one through whom all creation was made. Let us make sure we also look Jesus squarely in the eye as brother and fully human. We may not carry his burdens or face his particular fears, but we all carry our own. Burdens that can lead our minds to run wild and loneliness to sprout. So once the joy of this worship and this day is over, once it fades like these palm branches into a yesterday, I pray that you hold on to our covenant. I pray that in the week to come, we care for one another in extravagant ways, with nard and ointment, healing wounds and offering company. I pray that we be like this unnamed woman, meeting each other's humanity head on. I also pray that we remember our covenant so that we might allow ourselves to be cared for in simple ways, but ways that are always extravagant. That we allow each other to see our wounds, to allow them to anoint us and help us face our futures with the gifts of honesty, the grace of ritual, and the presence of loving hearts. And finally, I pray that we ground all of what we do, not in our own gifts, but in that same prayer of Jesus, who said, "Abba, Father, in your hands all things truly are possible." So as we turn toward this most important, most holy week, I say to you what Jesus said to the disciples in the Gospel of Mark. Keep awake. Keep alert. Keep your hearts searching for holy and human alike, and let us walk together hand in hand to face all that comes this week. And if we do so, in the midst of it all, we will find holy things, miracles upon miracles, palm branches waving in the midst of our greatest needs, grace that floats down with the lightness of confetti upon the breeze, and depths of love previously unknown breaking forth like the dawn of a new day. If you are ready for that kind of journey and ready to do it together, will you say amen?
Thank you.
Please be seated. We come now to a time to be fully human, a time where we can crawl up into the lap of Jesus and offer our prayers. Our prayers of our greatest joys and also our deepest concerns. Here in this church, we name those joys and concerns out loud that we might share that burden together and that we might remember those prayers in the days of this holy and human week to come. And so I ask you now, what are your joys and what are your concerns on this day? We lift up joy for a daughter born to Steve's sister this week, and that daughter is named Avery. Yes, Patty. We lift up prayers of joy for Debbie Alexander, your friend who has been released from the hospital and healing continues at home. Other joys and concerns. We offer prayers for the family of Ann Berry, who passed away this past week, and that Ann might be welcomed into the grace of heaven. Yes. We lift up thanksgiving in gratitude for the welcome that we have received here and the chance to be part of this group of wonderful new members. We lift up prayers for a young man, Ryan, a part of our larger community who passed away this week, and for all those who are left with so many questions and so much grief. Virginia. Your joy for your Pomeranian Melody. Yes, Glenn. We give thanks for the election in Nigeria and hope that things may improve for the people who are there. Carrie. Amen indeed. Any other joys and concerns? Yes, Tracy.
For my dad's 97th birthday.
Yes.
We lift up joy for your dad's 97th birthday. We lift up Ron Hamft, who is on his way to his stepmother's funeral in Ohio, I believe. We lift up Anne, Cindy's friend who has cancer. I invite us all then to take a moment of silence to let those prayers drift onto our hearts and into our minds. Now, God, together we break our silence, lifting our voice in the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together and out loud, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Whenever anyone would ask, what they were to do, Jesus would simply say, "Follow me." And so on this day where we welcome Jesus to Jerusalem, we seek to follow him, not just with our voices, but with our lives, to give as he gave, with generosity and fullness of love. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received. Loving God, we offer these gifts in humbleness and gratitude. We ask you to bless them and transform them in gifts of life to this world. And we ask you to bless and transform each of our lives, that ever more faithful your servants we might yet be. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, you may be seated, and I invite the children to come on in for a moment and join me over here. Come on over. I like that. So we want to ask you a question. How did it feel this morning during that opening hymn when you came in waving those branches and having everybody sing? Happy. Fun. Right? Let me ask you this question. How is it going to be next week on Easter when this place is packed, when there is beautiful music, but most importantly, when you were running outside on that lawn looking for Easter eggs? How will that feel? Fun, awesome, happy. So it's so tempting often to go from the fun, happiness of this week to the fun, happiness of Easter, and it's all good. But I wanted to make sure that all of you knew that two very important things, many things, but two especially important things take place between now and Easter in the life of Jesus that we're called to remember. Does anybody know what this is and what we use this for? Yeah, we use it for communion. We put the bread on here, and we put the juice in the cup. Did you know that in the week between Palm Sunday that we celebrated this morning and the week between Easter, Jesus would, for the first and only time, share this meal with his disciples, something that started our process of communion? It's pretty important, right? Please don't touch. This would hurt, right? Do you know what this is? A crown of thorns. Here's what our story also tells us happens this weekend. This is important. What also will happen this week? Yeah? So this week, people just like you and I, people before who tried to live good lives, are going to end up condemning Jesus to death, and in order to mock him, they will put this thorn on his head, this crown of thorns, to hurt him and embarrass him. So we need to remember a little bit that between the fun happiness of today, which I hope it is, and the fun and happiness of Easter, which it will be, there are also some really important things that are going to happen. I invite you to talk to your parents and to your family about those things in this week to come. Can you remember that? Before I send you back to your seats, let's say a quick prayer together. Can you hold my hand? God, we give you thanks for happiness and fun. And we give you thanks for the things that make life worth living. God, bless us that we may dwell in the midst of both in this week and all the weeks to come. Amen. All right, you can go back and sit with your families. As we prepare to end worship, let me offer a couple of invitations. First, in your bulletin, you should have noticed an insert about the activities for Holy Week. I couldn't more strongly invite you to be part of them. I also invite you after worship to come through those doors that you might greet all of your new brothers and sisters, that you might have a yummy cake and lots of food to go along with it. I invite you in this week to come just to be real and to be true. Let us close our worship in song.
Thank you.
On this day, as we leave to walk beside the Christ all the way to the cross and beyond, may God bless you with the courage to walk without faltering. May Christ shine forth as a beacon of love in your darkest hours. And may the Spirit warm your heart with the flames of love and of peace. And let the whole church say, Amen.